Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Aiken City Council meeting this evening, February 22nd, 2010. We are so glad to have everyone here. Appreciate you coming. And as we go through our agenda, if you'd like to speak on any particular issue, you may certainly do so. Just let us know by raising your hand, and we'll call on you, and you can come up and give us your name and address, please, and make a comment that you would like to make. Okay? As we get started, if you would please stand with us for our prayer and our pledge of allegiance.
Lord Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here this evening. We just ask for your guidance, clarification, Lord, that as to what we need to say and do at all times. We thank you especially for the great city that you've allowed us all to live in and to be a part of. Just bless all those citizens we have who have worked so tirelessly throughout the years, during the 175 past years, to make the city such an enjoyable place to live and to be a part of. Bless the city staff, those that are here today. I just ask that you'd give the wisdom and discernment to all of us, Lord, as we move forward to build even a greater future for those still to come within our city. Just bless this evening, and we ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to our agenda this evening?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to add two items. I'd like to have a brief discussion of the penny sales tax timing when it's placed on the ballot, and I'd also like to update the council on my efforts towards transparency with the budget. That was an item that we discussed in the goals for next year.
Okay, very good. We'll add that as number three under petitions and requests and transparency. Okay, anything else? Okay, do we have a motion and a second then to approve the amended agenda?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Next item is the minutes. Consideration of the minutes of Horizons meetings, January 29th and 30, 2010, and the regular meeting of February 8th, 2010. Any comments about the minutes?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the minutes of the Horizon meetings of January 29th and 30th and our regular meeting of February 8th.
Eight?
Second.
Yeah, okay.
I'll second.
We've got a second, Beverly. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under old business, appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have one appointment tonight by Mayor Kavanaugh. That's Peggy Pinland to the Accommodation Tax Committee. She had served on that committee before. She went off a few years ago, and this is the one appointment that you have is her reappointment.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll make that a motion then that we reappoint Peggy Pinland to the Accommodations Tax Committee. Do we have a second?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All approval? Passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to, if it's appropriate at this time, to recommend the reappointment of Todd Lister to the Accommodations Tax Committee.
Okay.
His term expires March 25th, 2010.
Okay. That would be on our agenda then, the next meeting. Any other nominations? Okay. Under new business, first reading of an ordinance to expand the comprehensive plan north of Toolbeck Road. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by its title. It's an ordinance amending the City of Aiken Comprehensive Land Use and Transportation Plan to expand the comprehensive study area north of Two Black Road. This had been on the action agenda that City Council worked out with the Planning Commission, and it encompasses a fairly large area that is bounded by Banks Mill Road and US 78, with East Pine Log Road as the northern boundary and Old Dibble Road is approximately the southern boundary. We've had a couple of projects presented to council in the past, and the question always came up with, well, wasn't in the comprehensive plan, and what do we eventually like to see this area look like? There's currently a couple of pockets of industrial warehouses along Tubeck Road that would be remaining, and some commercial that they indicate along a portion of Pine Log Road. Otherwise, the area is primarily undeveloped and would be residential in type of service or development that we'd see there in the future. The Planning Commission, at their December meeting, unanimously recommended the attached comprehension plan for this area. And for City Council, this is the first reading of an ordinance to expand the comprehensive plan north of Tubeck Road as recommended by the Planning Commission. And upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing would be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt.
What was that, Ms. Price?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this on first reading.
Okay, bless your heart.
Okay. Second.
And we have a second also. Any discussion?
Yeah, I have a question. As you know, I raised a concern about this the last time we talked about it, in the sense that we're expanding our influence into an area, albeit not densely populated, but one that provides our services to people who may or may not want them. In discussing with the staff, it was brought to my attention that this is obviously allowed. I mean, if we wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't allowed. But is there a map available that shows the limits of how far out we could assume area or influence of our comprehensive plan?
Theoretically, you could move to encompass all the way up to North Augusta, all the way down to New Wellington or Jackson. We have tried to limit our area to the sphere of influence as to where we have either water and or sewer as our boundaries. But you could go ahead and come up with a planning area and look at annexation of it up until the next city. For instance, North Augusta has a plan and has annexed a large portion of the property and is currently in Edgefield County with their city. So, again, this is just a planning purpose so that as development occurs within those areas, which we would be serving with water and or sewer, we would have a direction as to how that area should develop in the future.
Perhaps a map. Is there a map that defines where the water districts within the state or the water surface areas within the state should be?
There are maps.
There's a map, yes.
Okay. The only reason I raise this is obviously we're in the process, we're going to create donut holes. I mean, if for example, if somebody in Quail Hollow wanted city water and was willing to do whatever it took to get them, we're just going to create donut holes, and that's going to make for more problems, I think, than not. What do we gain by doing this?
Again, and the council has the final right as to whether or not you want to bring an area into the city of Aiken. This is not bringing any areas into the city of Aiken.
I understand.
It's just describing as to how council for the city of Aiken would like to see that area grow in the future. Just like we developed an area 7 miles north of the city to be on I-20 recently, an area that was almost the same size as our current city limits or city area. Again, to try to look at it 10, 20, 30 years from now, what would we like that area north of the city to develop as?
With the anticipation that it would be within the city?
That more than likely the areas, because again, that's our water district and our sewer area, that as they want our water and sewer, council is going to go ahead and have more than likely as a condition of providing them the water and sewer, that they would sign an annexation agreement.
Well, that's what we have now, and essentially it just is creating donut holes as well. I guess there may not be anything wrong with donut holes, but
That, again, just because they signed the agreement doesn't mean you have to annex.
No, but we have several properties along Highway 1 that have done that. We did the dental office there, isn't that? And we did that business at the gas station.
They're not in the city.
No, but they... Yeah, you're right. They're not in the city.
And we would not bring them in the city until council felt there's enough properties along there that would make it reasonable to give them service.
Okay.
Dick, several years ago, I haven't heard it recently, but it seems like it goes in spells. People will complain about the south side. You know, why didn't the city take charge of the south side of Aiken, you know, like they did the downtown area, if you will, so that it looks nice? And you could, back then, the council decided not to, I guess. And so now what we're seeing is as people come in, get our water, it's developing slowly. But every time it does develop, to me, it looks nicer. We've got some nice-looking properties along Whiskey Road now with landscaping and all, and that's what happens when they want our water or sewer. And so we're trying to get a jump on the north side. That's why we agreed to go to the north side with that, and we've already had some properties, as I think you mentioned, and I know of some too, that have taken our water or sewer, and they look nice. It's like kind of like an oasis out there amongst the rest of the properties. And hopefully others that come in to develop will see that and want to do better too with their properties. I mean, I think we all kind of
this doesn't impede the county from approving a project in this area because it is
No, they may not want to have water or sewer, therefore they just don't have to do anything that abide by the ordinances of the city.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
What's the degree of coordination with the county on when we do go outside our boundaries for future planning?
Well, now, it's not outside of our boundaries. We have water that goes all the way up to I-20. So it's within our boundaries if we wanted to do it, which we elected to do several years ago.
Not the city proper.
No, it's not city property. But the service is there. And if they want our service, then they sign an agreement, which is legal, to come in if council wants them to, when the city grows out to be contiguous with them. Now, again, if they don't want our services, they want to dig a well, and I mean, they can do that.
Mr. Ledoux, excuse me, is that our water district out that far? Because isn't the water districts rural where they are? And I know there's one from New Ellerton, North Augusta has a water district.
Part of it is our water district. Part of it is the Mount Morenci Couchton water district. All of it is our sewer district. For instance, Deodora Plantation, which is right at the corner of what was formerly Pine Log Road and Tubac Road. It's an area that consists of probably about 300 acres. There's probably 300 to 400 homes in there right now. They're on our water. I mean, they're on our garbage police. We provide sewer, but the water is provided by Mount Morenci Couchton in that area.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me.
I'm not so sure. I don't know if Ed is back there or not, but it seems to me that I remember the Planning Commission coming to us before asking us about this area and whether we wanted to look at making this a part of our study area, and I think that's what they're asking us to firm up tonight. If I'm not mistaken, Ed, you can address that issue. But this is an issue that, well, we looked at maps, and we had the maps colored different colors depending on whether we had sewer or water in the area, and then we were to decide whether we were going to have the area as a part of our study area. And it was not done with the intention or any forethoughts of annexing the areas, but rather to just look at what's out there so we know when they come to us what to expect as far as development in the area. It was not done for the purpose of annexation, but simply because we had service in the area. And I think this may be a part of that that plan, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you're right. They did come to us, and I think we said yes. Go move forward with it anyway.
Okay.
And one of these days, who knows when, that area may be annexed. 20, 30 years from now, whatever. Who knows?
To answer Councilmember DeWar's question, if council had 30, 40 years ago had this policy of planning out, for instance, the south side, as the mayor has stated, areas like along Doherty Road and some of these other areas, which are donut holes, would not be donut holes today. We started the policy in approximately 1990 that stated that anytime anybody wanted to have city water or sewer, they would sign an annexation agreement. We have hundreds of annexation agreements that have been signed that have not come to city council just because we didn't want to create a donut hole, that we wanted to make sure that our services were contiguous or somewhat contiguous before we went ahead and brought those to city council. And what I believe the council, when they went to the Planning Commission a couple of years ago and asked them to study this, the whole idea was, how do we look 10 years ahead, 20 years ahead, 30 years ahead, so that we can see as the area continues to grow, and if they do want city services, that it's going to take on a certain look, in this case, residential, long-term in the future. But again, if they want to put in one-acre lots and have wells and septic tanks, they certainly could do that and not even have to come back to the city. And that would not be part of our planning process then.
Okay. Any other comments? We have a motion and a second for approval. If no other comments, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 2 is the first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 371 through 373 Johasi Drive. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.18 acres of land, more or less, owned by Travis A. Bryant and to zone the same residential single-family RS8. This is a duplex in the Governor Acre Park area. They would like to have city services, and it is very similar to other properties within that area. We are recommending not only the annexation of this property, but the right-of-way in front, which would be Johasi Drive. The Planning Commission unanimously approved this at their February meeting, and for City Council consideration, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 371, 373 Johasi Drive under the RSA zone.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve this on first reading. I think it's much needed.
Well, okay. Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3, commercial garbage. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. At the Horizon Retreat, we discussed commercial garbage, whether we should stay in the business or not. We also discussed a couple years ago at Horizon's Retreat, because the city had a fairly significant shortfall in the revenue that they were collecting at that time in comparison to the expenditures for that service. At that time, council said, let's make an increase over the next 3 years, try to make them equal each year. So we've been going up around $85,000 a year. At that time, we were lower than the other four providers that currently are providing commercial garbage service inside the city, which is Advanced Waste, Tyler, Curry, and Waste Management. So we brought it back to you again at Horizons this year, and the indication was that it seemed to be a reasonable step forward to consider eliminating our commercial garbage to the merchants within our community and those who serve apartments, etc. I did look up recently, and it was about 10 years ago that we were a monopoly at that time. And at that time, being a monopoly, if you wanted to have commercial service, you had to get it through the city. Council felt at that time that we should open it up to the private sector. The private sector was allowed to go ahead and to serve commercial accounts. And we have eliminated probably about a third of our customers went to other outside services. And that's how we were able to get the prices we have here today. There are some very easy accounts to get to, and then there's some very difficult accounts to get to. We also provide some roll cart service, very limited to some of the harder ones to get to, especially in the downtown area. In those cases, we would go ahead and continue to serve those as we are currently doing. And what we'd like council to look at tonight, since we are no longer going to be the lowest one, to consider bringing this to a first reading so you could take a vote on it at the next meeting to eliminate the service and to let the private sector take over the service probably 6 months from the time you would approve it. At the sure it's three, but we're looking probably more at a six-month period of time. Even since the paper went ahead and put the thought out there that the city was considering this, we have had a cancellation of a number of accounts already where commercial entities, oh, we didn't know you could do that. And so we have already had several people called saying that as a such date, we no longer want the city service. As that continues, it becomes a little bit more difficult maintaining that service. If we had to in the future keep a couple of accounts, we could certainly review each one and look at it. In other words, if there was a very difficult situation that we had to service with one of our trucks, we could probably do so. So we're here tonight to answer any questions. I know Larry Morris is here to talk to you if you have any questions concerning the possibility of eliminating the commercial garbage service.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Perhaps you or Larry could touch on the savings to the city. I mean, the fact that we now have a couple that are lower than the city anyway, I know there's some savings if we were to get out of the the service.
Well, first of all, if the city decides to stay in the service, we'll have to increase our prices. And then if...
And that's a 101.07 price.
Yeah, that's the 101.07. It would go up about $85,000. And then if we continue to lose accounts, we're going to have to continue raising our service or cost up even higher than what we have here. We'd have to probably come back to it another increase. But the savings that we would have is the expenses should equal the revenue coming in. So if we eliminate the service, we're also going to eliminate the revenue, and so there's really no savings at that point. The savings that we would have is the fact that we would have four vehicles that are currently with the city that could be sold. We also have money in depreciation accounts that have been saved up to replace these vehicles. We'd have dumpsters that could be sold off and other miscellaneous equipment like that. The four individuals that are currently in that budget would no longer have to be on our insurance plan and workers' compensation and other health and insurance type of benefits. Mm-hmm. So there actually would be a savings in that area. But the main savings is the fact that we just felt that if you have private sector that's able to go ahead and service these accounts, let the private sector do it. And for one time, the government could get out of a service that they got into a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Roger, do I understand that if we eliminate the service, you'll also be eliminating four jobs?
Those four individuals who are truck drivers would go ahead and work in other areas of, you know, they might be on our residential garbage, they might be in our yard trash.
So they'll be transferred into another position.
They'll be transferred into other positions the city has.
Mr. Mayor, the two of the citizens, or maybe more citizens, are here tonight, and myself and one of the other councilmen made a tour of the block downtown between Lawrence and Newberry and Richland and Park. And that area there is obviously a very difficult area to do with. And I understand in the last number of years there's been a lot of cleanup done there at the, by the city as well as working with that. Is before we go forward this, I would suggest that we look at some of these difficult accounts and specifically in the block that I just looked at and see if there's any other areas that would require something different just because that area wasn't built to handle trucks and garbage bins and all that. And I think there's a couple of citizens that may also want to speak to that tonight.
Sure.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, I would just like to say, you know, I fully understand what the city is trying to do from this perspective, but there are some elements to this that I don't have a good understanding of, and that is, I know we're afraid that if we raise rates, then we're going to drive more customers away, but today we currently have four trucks that are running, is that correct?
Three trucks and a spare.
Okay. But it seems to me, I mean, I know there are some fixed costs that are incurred by this service, but there's also some variable expenses here. And if we reduce the number of dumpsters in which we're unloading, then those variable costs should go down with the services as well. And I know, Roger, you may have looked at every aspect of this, but you know, if let's say if we raise the we leave these services in place, we raise these rates, and we do lose some customers from that perspective, and the city gets to a point to where now we need two trucks and not four, we have one that's running full time, then our expenses are going to come down. Maybe not equal to what the service would be with four trucks running and serving the larger number of customers. But our tipping fees should come down. The hauling them to the landfill should be reduced. And to me, I just feel as though this service has been so important to the city of Aiken and to the customers here within the city of Aiken. And the reason for that is the city of Aiken does a tremendous job, and thank you, Larry, and your department, with our city dumpsters. They know when to pull into the alleyway, when not to. They know when a dumpster that services these restaurants in the middle of July gets a little smelly. We can take care of that. I'm afraid that if we turn this over entirely to an independent contractor, that those services are not still going to be provided to our customers. If indeed, I just feel like we need to give this thing one more good college try. Let's raise the rates to where they need to be, and let's see next year where it plays out. Maybe it will work to where we can service a good number of our customers, maintain them, and still not have to dip into other funding in order to provide these services.
Well, good thoughts, Don. How many customers, Roger, did you say we've lost since this information was in the paper?
I asked Larry today, and we didn't have an exact count, but he said several people have already called wanting to discontinue service. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if we wrote a letter to everyone asking if they wanted to, they certainly could reduce even further.
Yeah. A question on the raised rate. If we were to go ahead with this raised increased rate, would we then break even for this next year?
Assuming we didn't lose any more customers, I think the last I looked was there's 295 customers somewhere in that neighborhood. And again, if we stayed at that rate, is it 295 or 395, Larry?
Right at 295.
Okay, 295, and let's say we lost another 50 to 100. There is economy of scale in doing this. Again, because you're having to drive farther between stops. We service on Saturday. There's going to be maybe less Saturday accounts. And again, it's just economy of scale. So the rate we have right now is based on 295 customers. And what we could do is if we lose X amount more, we could always come back and have a second increase if council wants to keep it.
I'd just like to make a point about the downtown area. I spoke to several of the downtown merchants. Those not in the restaurant business differed from those that are in the restaurant business. And for the most part, they're just happy with what they have, and their view is increase the rates, and we'll stay where we are because the city knows how to do it, and we're comfortable with what the city does. The restaurants, I think, are really unique and need special treatment. I'd just as soon see us study this block area. Roger, you and I spoke. You mentioned there's 10 dumpsters in the downtown area. But I just as soon see us make a special study of the downtown area and determine what their needs are and then make our decision based on that. Downtown is very special. I mean, we could not have a downtown area with bugs and flies and rats all over the place. And we have to understand that what the city does in terms of cleaning up these dumpster areas is just not going to be done by the private developers. I mean, they're just being paid to come in, put the stuff in the truck, and leave. and that may create some problems. I just would like to see a study of the downtown area a little more carefully, and based on what that concludes, then I can see eliminating the service maybe in the rest of the areas, but downtown I think we need to consider keeping it. But that said, I didn't know who the customers were outside the area. There were people obviously on all over the city, but I didn't know. I couldn't go talk to them because I didn't know whether they were with the city or not. And I'm not looking for a list of people, because I think when you get out of the downtown area, it's probably a cakewalk in terms of picking up commercial trash. Most of the dumpsters are accessible, but
well, they're scattered all over the city limits of Aiken.
Yeah, they are. But downtown's unique. I'd just like to proceed a little more cautiously.
Well, I personally don't have any problem with waiting and seeing what happens. I suspect. You know, there'd be more. It depends on whether or not the folks want to pay $92 instead of $101.
Mr. Mayor, I think there's a gentleman in the audience who's trying to speak.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have Sam, you want to speak. And anyone else can speak as well after Mr. Erb.
Thank you. Sam Erb, 1556 Dibble Road. Talk trash. I agree with Councilman Wells, Councilman Duar, and Councilman Ebner. We are a tourism destination. And let's take Masters Week, for instance, when the hotel is completely full the entire week. Week before and even the week after, with people staying there and coming early and playing golf at our golf courses. There is an eyesore, unfortunately, at that hotel, and not talking bad about the property owner. That is not a city dumpster. Now, my dumpster is unique because we have four restaurants using that dumpster, and it is a DHEC rule that those dumpsters must be dumped every day. When the city goes in there on certain days, and it might be a bad day, and things get spilt, hydraulic fuel, you know, sometimes leaks out of the trucks, it's an eyesore that would be neglected unless us property owners and business owners clean it up ourselves. This is a service, I think, that's important to us as small business people that the city has to offer. And no, I don't think a contractor would do that, except at our cost. They might come, but it would be at our cost. We don't want stench, diesel fuel, rats. I mean, my outside property and DeVore's outside property, we have often seen rats just one dumpster to the other. They don't care who's sitting out there. And now the city, and I commend the city for everything they've done, Larry and your group. They've gone back there. They've worked with us. We've cleaned it up. But when there's something beyond our control and the city service has to come involved, we have to have that. I think that's what we pay taxes for. You know, especially Masters Week, I don't necessarily have the time to go out there and rake around a dumpster. But if I have to, if it's still there, I will. Because I don't want the guests of our city to see that. I think we're too unique a town to do that. Now, we're all in tough times right now. You know, the small businesses are the backbone of this country. And the small businesses in the city of Aiken are the anchor of this downtown. We don't have a Whites or a Belk's or a Target or anything else. We have small businesses. And that makes Aiken downtown unique. And, I mean, since the smoking and then this parking and now eliminating the service, and I'm sure water's going to go up, you are hurting our small business people. I feel strong for this. I mean, the strong will survive through this recession. I'd like to see you do a little more studying, at least in these unique areas that reflect what the city of Aiken is and what the city of Aiken has become.
Sam, thank you for your thoughts, and that's exactly why we're talking about this. You know, the city has lost money every year, lately at least, on a commercial garbage. So, yes, sir. That's why the need for that increase in price.
Yeah. My name is Russell Richardson. I live at 118 Dewberry Lane, Aiken, South Carolina. I own a piece of property on the alley, 231 the alley, and I have the opportunity to help manage one of the large areas behind the property I have there that four restaurants share. If the service was eliminated, there are four businesses that use this facility that have no place whatsoever to put a dumpster. So now that's going to be in my backyard. And how do you manage it? How do you collect the money from the different people? How do you work together to make this take care of this? Larry Morris's crew has done a magnificent job of taking care of that space for us and to keep it clean, emptying it 6 days a week that it has to be emptied, and keeping it clean during those hot days when that grease pours out and that smell happens. And, you know, I have a water spigot there that I give key to the city. It's the only one in the alley where they can get out there and take Pine Sol and clean the thing out. But it is a unique area, and there's about three or four of them, as we discussed, that I think need to be carved out. They come at 4:30 in the morning. You got to come at 4:30. There's too much traffic there. There's too much going on. The city can work that type of schedule. If you get two or three commercial companies coming, and you got trucks coming from every different directions going to different locations, it's going to become a problem. And I just would really like to, for consideration in that area and from that thought.
Thank you, Russell. Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ryan Butler. I stay at 373 Johansson Drive. I'm a commercial driver. Okay. Hey, how are y'all doing? I'm nervous. But my job, y'all all talking about, and like y'all say, that if y'all cut our jobs, y'all could put us somewhere else. But y'all must have been to the city lately, because we got more drivers than we got trucks. Y'all can't just, I just want to know what's going on. There's some bosses back there. I commend y'all for speaking good about us, because we do try to do our best.
And you do.
And I just want to come in and put my little two cent in. That's about it. But I like his idea. Love his idea. At least give us another year. See, can we approve on it? Can y'all come up with another idea of how we can help generate more revenue? Because you say you're going to put four people out of jobs.
No, not really,
but once they get to try to place us, one guy been there for like 20-some years. I've been on the job for 3 years. Another guy been for less than a year. Well, a little bit over a year. Guy, he just came about a couple months ago.
Right.
And if you got two drivers driving around at least one truck a day and all the other ones, where we going to be at? We're going to be out the door somewhere. No. I'm fit to be a future homeowner. I'm trying to buy a house. And I just don't want to see all... I understand that if the city needs to save money, they need to save money. Because everybody needs to save money. But that's really all I had to say. I just want to come put my little two cents in. I just want to show... I tried to get some more drivers to come, the other three, but I'm the only one that showed. But, hey...
Well, you were enough. thank you very much. Thanks for coming up here. You did a great job. Okay, anyone else want to speak? Okay.
Can I add something?
Certainly. Yes. Yes, Sam.
It was a couple years, Sam, 1556 Dibble, that we talked about behind the alley. We had got between Joe Harrison's and the alley mall's parking lot. Now, Larry is aware of what I was talking about. Now, I'm not sure. I thought it was moving forward. I know we're waiting to get electricity underground in that area, and they, Joe did give them permission to put a generator or whatever those boxes are. That did not happen. Well, there was talk about improving that dumpster area to eliminate Malia's roll carts, the Center for the Arts roll carts, Yanni's, Up Your Alley's roll carts, Newberry Hall's roll carts that are now all out on the street on Newberry Street. Dirty. Not anything against Newberry, but they just get dirty and they get smelly. You know, if we could put a cardboard box dumpster and a large dumpster for those restaurants and businesses, you would eliminate all that ungodly looking roll carts that do get nasty, whether you clean them and soak them with Clorox or anything else. But I thought that was in the workings, and I thought that that would be an area that could be spearheaded for this few block area.
Is there a reason why that would not be good, Roger or Larry? Do y'all know?
The only we have to buy the property if we're going to go ahead and get it. No one's going to give it, allow us to put a dumpster or a roll-off container at those locations. And we've talked to different people about buying property for undergrounding, for dumpsters, and at this point they're not willing. I mean, if council would like us to go in there and insist they sell it, we certainly could.
Well, maybe that's something we can talk about a little bit later and okay. talk to them again, if that seems to be the best thing to do. I mean, rather than have a bunch of them, if you have one place to consolidate them, if it's not too far away.
That's where I thought we were all going to, okay. And then next thing you know, this comes up.
Yeah, I personally wasn't aware of that. I don't know.
Sam, we've been working on that for probably 15 years, and we just can't get anybody to move forward with it. So.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sam. Anyone else want to speak? Okay. Based on what I've heard, I like what Don said. Let's try it another year. See what happens.
Mr. Mayor.
I think there are reasons why, certainly. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we decided, when we talked about this a couple of years ago, that we said we can do a better job. The city of Aiken can do a better job. And we talked about this before. This isn't the first time we've talked about perhaps doing something like that. And I think that's still the case. But still in all, we have to look at the cost, too. We wouldn't be doing our job if we weren't looking at the cost-benefit. And perhaps the benefit right now is better than the cost, although we'll have to raise the cost, as I'm hearing.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, I think no matter what we do tonight, I'm just so heartened by the fact that everyone's been so complimentary of the people who are actually doing the job. Mm-hmm. And stating that they're doing such a wonderful job, such that they're willing to pay more to have it continue. And so it makes me concerned about the ones who are not using the city services and wondering if we allow them to work in the city without rules for how they do their business, such that the private companies can also come up to the quality, if you can call it trash quality, the quality of service that the city is offering to its clients, such that those that are not being served by the city won't have to worry about dirt and smells and those kinds of things. And I'm wondering if we have any type of rules or if DHEC has any type of rules that would say to them, you have to do this and you have to do that to keep the quality of your service up. Just for health reasons.
We did discuss this a little bit at Horizons when we met. And I think we said that we would certainly try our best, and perhaps there are some rules that would mandate it. If this were to go about and we changed, then those folks would have to do the same things that our city folks are doing. But I think, you know, I'm not so sure they could ever reach to the point of doing the good job that our city folks do. And
there are several hundreds of other accounts where these services are being provided. Mm-hmm. I have not heard of any complaints from anybody or any citizens that the commercial accounts, whether it be Waste Management or Curry or Tyler or Advanced Waste, they're going to go ahead and keep those areas clean and do the job, or they're going to lose the business. So in the last 10 years that we've allowed it, at least I have not heard any complaints. Maybe someone else has, but I have not.
Let me just add that if we extend this, as Councilman Dewar has suggested, that we look at other towns that have continued their residential but eliminated their commercial because of the same things we're discussing this evening. Anderson and Greenville eliminated their commercial because of the same subject. We may not be at that point where we want to do this evening because of the impact that it would have on others, but I do think, as you stated, Councilman Dewar, that this probably needs more study than we have already.
Yeah, my primary concern was I just didn't want to buy anything that we do. I didn't want to make the downtown business operation any less clean than it is now. We have a dual obligation here. We have an obligation to the taxpayer because it's the taxpayer's money on the one hand. And it's just not a good thing to continue supporting an operation that's going to lose $85,000 a year. But we also have an obligation to the business community because we're providing a service that I don't think the private sector, in this case, could provide as well as we are in the downtown area. And it's a quandary.
Well, I think that the special care that the downtown businesses get is because of the people we have working for us. And you get a special care and love for the area because you want to make sure that it is pristine for visitors. I do not, though, want to give the impression to the private sector that they cannot render the same responsible and care. I'm very familiar with Waste Management, for example, and their services. And I just want us to be mindful of the fact that we don't want the notion that these people, these other businesses, are not responsible and not caring.
No, but I think it's worthwhile to point out, as Mr. Richardson and Mr. Irv did, that you can't have five trucks down that alley at 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning. Now, maybe they could work it out amongst themselves. I'm sure they could. They wouldn't do anything intentionally that's going to take them longer to get the job done than they need to. So are you suggesting, Councilman Wells, that we extend it a year with the rate increase or with no rate increase?
Councilman, I'm suggesting that we extend it 1 year with a rate increase, and let's see where we go from there. However, I do know that these commercial companies have salespeople out there, and they're looking for that one prime account that's going to have a lot of dumpsters in one location. Mm-hmm. And if that's what we need to do in order to not, we're not trying to make this profitable, we're just trying to break even. And I think if that's what we have to do in order to get to that break-even point and provide this service, then why couldn't we do that? There are some people out there that in their dumpsters it's just cardboard boxes and paper, and it's not imperative to them that it gets dumped at any one certain time. But I can assure you those are the people out there that will switch service providers for $5 a month. And if that's what it takes to get us to the point to where we're $5 less, then I think we could do that as well.
So I think the best thing really is to go ahead and move that we, I'm hearing, just hearing the discussion, that we should move to continue the service with the rate increase for the next year.
Okay, and that'll be brought up then, if that's the case.
If council would like us to continue the service, then we'll continue the service, and I'll bring to council at the next meeting the continuation of it, but with the rate increase.
Okay.
And we may in interim get input from more people that would give us more information.
Right.
And we
need.
Okay. But if you drop too many, you'll let us know if too many people drop because of the rate increase.
One quick question, Mr. Mayor. What do these contracts look like? I mean, do they have to sign up for a long-term contract with the commercial entities? And does it specify that certain tasks will be done? Because knowing commercial entities, they'll cut corners anywhere they can. And they're, unless they're specifically pinned down by contract terms, they're going to just ignore it. I mean, they'll do it good for the first couple of months, and
Absolutely. Then
it'll slide. And apparently Larry and his folks are, you know, super performers, and I don't know how you put that on a spreadsheet or whatever, you know, to try to figure out what it is, but it's a definite benefit.
Absolutely. And I think Mr. Erb hit it on the head when we are special. It is special downtown, and it needs to be kept clean and not smelly. And, you know, at some point in time, if you could ensure that the commercial other ones are not doing it, or that would do that, you know, okay, it might be something different if we could save some money. But that's got to be utmost important, I think. And that's a good point. Good point to me. But your question about how long are the contracts, I personally don't know. But, Rod, do you have any idea? They may vary.
We have called all these companies asking for the rates to look at contracts or anything else, and none of them will divulge their information. We have heard, though, from other commercial accounts that there is a contract. Some contracts are, again, depends on what you want, 1 year, 5 years. But in the last 10 years, as I said, I have not heard any complaints. We have had a few commercial accounts that have come back to the city of Aiken. But most of them, that once they leave the city, they never come back. But again, what the large companies are doing, they're cherry picking. They're taking the ones that are most profitable. You take an apartment complex where maybe you have 10 dumpsters. We've lost just about every one of them, because they'll go after those accounts where they could make more money, and the harder to get to accounts, the one behind the package shop, they don't want to go ahead and serve it because of the problems that are associated with it. But there are a few accounts in downtown now that are done by other commercial providers. Again, the downtown is only about 3% of all of our commercial accounts.
Okay. So we'll look at that next meeting then again. Moving on to item 4, accessory buildings. Mr. LeDuc.
At our last meeting, a question came up on accessory buildings, on especially the offset from the side yard and rear yard areas. I gave you information that came to City Council in 2005, and the recommendation back then was to go ahead and to move it from 10 feet to 3 feet. Council at that time accepted all six of the seven recommendations, and the one that was brought up at the last meeting to move it to 3 feet, council at that time said no. They felt it was better
to go ahead and on a case-by-case basis look at them. I did talk to Public Safety and I did talk to Public Works. They did have some concerns. I'm sure we could work out those concerns if that's what council wants. Again, we don't have that many accessory buildings that go to our inspections department. But again, if that was the case that you wanted to include the 3 foot before they sign off on these, they could always go to Public Safety. They could always pass it over to Public Works to make sure those concerns are dealt with. We did give you some information from the past 3 years of the number of these that went to BZA. Six in 2009, eight in 2008, 12 in 2007, and the number that were denied each year and why they were denied. And it wasn't all because of the distance. There was a variety of reasons why they were denied. But if council would like to go back and to change that from 10 feet to 3 feet, we could certainly do so. You would just need to let us know, and we could put that on its first reading, because the Planning Commission does need to, by state law, look at issues like this. Council would take it on its first reading. Once you approve it, we could then send it back to the Planning Commission so they could review it one more time, and then would come back at a later date for second reading. So hopefully this is the information that you were looking for based on the last meeting's discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Any comments on this? Well, let's go... Are we asking to change this?
Mr. Mayor,
yes, go ahead.
When I made this request at the last council meeting, my concern was, you know, just in looking over the past 3 years, there had been 32 variance requests that had been sent to the BZA. I had also remembered this coming to us in 2005, and then at that time asking for the accessory building would be 3 feet from the property line instead of the current 10 feet. I have talked, as a matter of fact, several citizens have approached me regarding this, and I know that, you know, on a large piece of property, placing an accessory building 10 feet away from each property line would not necessarily create a problem. But when we look at the average neighborhood, we look at Hounds Lake, we look at Aiken Estates, we look at even Crosland Park, some of the other neighborhoods, if they wish to place an accessory building behind their house, and they have to come 10 feet away from two property lines if they're going to put it in the back corner, then some of these yards, that accessory building is actually sitting pretty close to the middle of their backyard. This prohibits some people from doing that. Others, as we see over the past 3 years, 32 of them have come to BZA asking for a request. I just felt as though if there was something that we could do to lessen this 10 feet, I'm not asking for 3. I just think that it were 5. Or if we were to give the purview of this to possibly the chairman of the BZA and the planning director to make this, it would take this much of a burden off of the BZA, as well as open up the possibility of having an accessory building to more of our citizens without having to come and make a formal request. Now, I have never understood why an accessory building needs to be 10 feet away from a property line. I would like somebody to explain that to me. That just seems like it's excessive. Even if your neighbor had one, that would put these two buildings 20 feet away from one another, and the majority of lawn backyards are lined either with trees or shrubs or fencing, and so it's not, even if it with that 20 feet with the fencing with trees, I don't think you would be able to get an emergency vehicle back there, nor do I think it could go through. So I just don't understand the rhyme or reason behind 10 feet away from the property line.
Are there any other thoughts on this? Chief Perlman, I don't imagine there are any public safety concerns here, one way or the other. Is there? Are there?
We stated it.
Okay. Would you come up and explain that, please?
While he's coming up, I'll just, the last paragraph talks about the International Building Code. It states that a building storing combustible material at over 6 feet in height should be at least 10 feet from the property line. Again, if council wants to go to less than 10 feet, we could have a matter of the process going from inspections to public safety to check out some of those issues. But right now, that is a requirement, and I'm sure that a number of the storage sheds have a gasoline can in there of some sort. So,
correct. And that's what we try and do is go by the national standard, and that's what the fire prevention code says. If it's taller than 6 foot, it has to be at least 10 foot from the property line.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
No, and I guess my concern, you know, along those lines is there would be people who would have an accessory building where they could store flammable materials, but having to place it 10 feet away or go before the BZA to get a variance, they wind up storing the flammables in their garage, which is attached to the home.
One of the problems might be you don't know what they've got in the
very true.
And it seems like that would be maybe the biggest concern. You don't know what's going in there, and if there is a problem and they're not abiding by the code, then that's a problem too. Okay, any other thoughts about changing it? It's 10 feet now. At least these requests, I think that's one of the major reasons. There's just so many requests coming to BZA for changing. And then when they hear the story, they change it. They allow it, right? But at least we're knowing whether or not that person is making a statement, whether or not they're going to be the flammables in there or not.
Well, Mr. Mayor, what I was saying is I just felt as though this could possibly be something that could be approved by the chairman of the BZA and the director of the planning department to keep these people from having to come to BZA. Now, certainly if they were to sit down with Ed and the chairman of the BZA and the answer that they got was not satisfying to them, then they would go before the full BZA for hearing, which would just place one more step in there before somebody would take it to the court of law to appeal. So this was my thoughts. I mean, I think if we could possibly reduce it to 7 or 5 feet or leave it at 10 and just have it to where the chairman of the BZA and the planning director would be able to approve it without them having to go before the board for hearing. I mean, I know there are some citizens that go before the design review board and the BZA very smoothly and very nicely. There's other citizens who've never done anything like this before and feel very intimidated in doing that. And I think this would circumvent that as well as reduce the load that the BZA has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, I was trying to figure out some years back when we entered into the discussion in 2005, why we entered into the discussion, and there seemed to have been some concerns regarding individuals not wanting their storage facilities or their accessory building too close to their property line, right in their back door, pretty much. And the thinking of many of us, several of us on council, was that why have that accessory building so close to your neighbor's yard if they don't want it that close to their yard? I can't remember if that was such a burning problem with why we needed 10 feet versus 3 feet, except folks just didn't want that building so close to their property line. And what I'm wrestling with right now is, as Don has indicated, what I'm gathering you're saying is the bureaucracy that some see in terms of the waiting period with having to go through being the process of getting this. I'm not sure what I'm hearing, Don.
I've just had some people, you know, which has not only been with the BZA, but it's been with other boards and commissions as well. You get someone who's not accustomed to coming, or they may have not ever even been in the council chambers before, until they're... hearing comes before the BZA or appeal, and they're very nervous about it. They feel like almost they're on trial in some way. And I'm just sharing with you what they share with me. And with an item such as this, where we have this number of requests in a given year, then if there's some way we can ease that for them, you know, we all down throughout the historic district down here, the old downtown Aiken, you can look behind every one of these houses and there's either a small garage tucked right on a property line, or there's a utility building back behind there that was placed there many, many years ago that's been grandfathered in. And then properties that were smaller pieces of properties, that's where the accessory building went, was at the very back corner of the yard. And so we see that all throughout the downtown area in the older homes and older structures. My problem and my concern is you have properties that are in Hounds Lake or properties now in Jim Lakes or Aiken Estates, that some other properties have a large front lawn and a small back area. Others have small front lawns and large backyards. And with a large backyard, that doesn't, an accessory building doesn't create a problem. With a smaller one, to say that that customer has, or client has to, citizen has to come 10 feet away from each property line to place an accessory building, then it could literally wind up
at
very close to the middle of his backyard. This is my concern. I think that, you know, we could do things to approve this somehow administratively. If we want to leave it at 10 and just have it approved, have the first step that we could get a lot of these either approved when they come in and sit down and talk with Ed Evans, or if we could have it, you know, reduce it. Either one would satisfy me. I just think this is a large number of requests that our citizens have made over the past 3 years, and I think it's something that's right now excessive for them to have to go through in order to just to place an accessory building 5 feet away from their property line or 7 feet away from their property line.
Well, I think some of these can create an issue that is best resolved by coming before Board of Zoning Appeals. I know the one case that you and I got involved, it was someone who had never been through the process and who was kind of nervous, and I think we were critical of staff in that process because they didn't seem to explain the rules, and he felt like if you knew how the game was played, he might have been able to get his project approved, which it wasn't. But in many cases, people have come before the board and wanted to be 5 feet. Neighbors had no complaints whatsoever. And some of those have been denied. But I think overall the Board of Zoning Appeals has been fair in its treatment. You're going to, I think about 12% in the last 3 years have been disapproved, which puts an 88% approval rate. But some of them can be pretty important to neighbors. Yep. So I don't see any problem with what we have now. Again, 32 in the last 3 years, it averages about three a meeting, probably some more than others, but I'm not sure I'd like to see an administrative approval. I'd like to see the Board of Zoning Appeals deal with it, but whatever the council wants.
Could Gary address the issue of whether we could even have an administrative approval for something that should go to BZA?
Councilwoman, my suggestion is having the chairman of the BZA along with staff, not with the planning director, be able to approve the variance. At that time, whatever criteria they wanted to request, if it were letters from the neighbors, or they would be able to do that. Mm-hmm. If they were to deny the request and the applicant was not satisfied, then he would go before the BZA for a full hearing. This would be an interim step,
right,
I think, which could approve some of these in short order rather than having to go through the full process.
Well, I'm understanding the problem because I live in a 37-year-old house, and my building is jammed up against the property line. It's not in my backyard, and there's room to put it there, but I don't know why it was put where it's put, but there it sits. And and I just know that there are cases where it is that way in Old Aiken, but I'm my concern is the nature of BZA and what they do and how they rule and what happens if you don't approve of their ruling, if and where it goes from there. And my concern is, can we actually ask them to do something administratively? And I wanted the attorney to address that issue.
It would be a concern because, you know, the reason that you have this process is to allow the public input, allow the posting of the property so people know that something that is not allowed by the zoning ordinance is being requested to be allowed. And then do we have other things like this where you and the chairman of the BZA would get together and make a decision about a variance? I don't think you do you? No. So I mean, you really would need to change the zoning ordinance if that was your desire.
I think what we're talking about here is possibly looking at step number 3, which was denied back in 2005.
Right.
That's the only thing we're discussing right now. If we are looking to allow the chairman of the BZA and whoever else in conjunction with allowing him to have a special waiver authority or approval authority, I don't think that's in this document at all. I think it's a separate subject and we should look at it separately. We can't just look at this, whether we're going to approve it down to 3 feet from the current 10 feet, at the same time turn around and give the chairman of the zoning board authority, which I think probably needs a little bit more research.
Mm-hmm.
I think the system's working now. If you're basing something on the volume of requests, I'm sorry, I don't think 30 requests or so in a year are excessive.
3 years.
3 years.
3 years.
Oh, okay. I don't think are excessive, and I don't think it's really puts such a load on the zoning board. Well, that's basically what I say. I think, but if we're going to talk about giving waiver authority in addition to the direct or the chairman of the zoning board, that's a different issue. I think we need to bring it up at some other time.
Mr. Mayor, may I add something? Ben Beverly, Councilman McLaren, pointed out a thought. We have an accessory building, and that building is about 3 feet down from the property line. If we place that building 10 feet away from the line, it would be pretty much sitting in the middle of what space I've got in my backyard. And I'm sure that what you are saying, you are sensitive to other families that may be running into other situations as we experience. Luckily, I don't have a neighbor in the back of our home, but many of my neighbors, if you drive down the street, they all have accessory buildings, and it is close to the property line in the back. So, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the reason I was asking, you know, even if it could be approved by the chairman of the BZA and Ed Evans, I do know that the Design Review Board is a quasi-judicial board such as the BZA, and I think there are things that they can approve. So I would think you would be falling under the same circumstances with the BZA, that we're not going stepping into uncharted grounds, that you know this is something that they could look at, and whatever criteria they needed to set, whether it was to notify the neighbors or I mean that all could be done. It's not like we're trying to underhandedly do anything. I'm just trying to improve this process for our citizens. And to me, when a board over 3 years has heard the same case over and over again for 32 times, there's something we can do to simplify that and to ease that load. That's why I brought up what I did. I had done some research on the total number of cases went before the BZA over the past 3 years. And I, to me, you know, considering they meet, you know, once a month, that's 12 meetings a year, and to expect them to hear this over and over and over again, I mean, it's just like a broken record that's going through here. Yes, some of them do get denied. And if it were approval was given, the power of approval was given to the chairman and to Ed Evans, I'm sure some of those would be denied as well. But that gives them an additional step that they can take and then go before the full board if indeed that's what they wish to do. Short of, as it currently stands, a citizen can come before the BZA, and if they don't like what they hear there now, they have no other choice but to go before a court of law in order to have it heard again.
I think there are two concerns. I think Dick mentioned the neighbors. I think that's a very, very real concern. John, I was going to ask you in your research, do you happen to know how many of those particular times where the neighbors were against that and perhaps came to the meeting to voice that disapproval of the change?
I know, Mr. Mayor, we had, I believe, the ones that were approved, but not the ones that were disapproved.
Yeah.
Nor the reasoning behind the ones that were disapproved. So, you know, I'm not saying let's skirt this thing around the neighbors. Certainly the neighbors could be contacted. They could be informed. We could potentially even ask the applicant, you know, that he would need to get letters from his neighbors in order to do this. And this could be a criteria that Ed Evans and the chairman of the BZA had. My whole intent with this is to simplify this process for our citizens, so that they don't have to come to the city, make application, wait for the proper time to come before the BZA, hope that they have everything that they need, and know how to present it to the BZA in order to get it approved. I think we could simplify that process. I don't know of any other item that we have that comes before the BZA or any of our other boards that is as great as this number. And
I'm concerned about that, the code, the international code, and what it says, especially for the 6 foot, meeting that criteria, the 6 foot buildings with compostable.
Yes.
I don't know.
Well,
I would suggest a lot of these accessory buildings have gasoline in there, or they have something that's combustible in there that we don't even know about, probably.
Mayor, I agree with you there, but here again, we're approving 80-something percent of them currently. The BZA.
Yeah, but they're coming to the BZA. There are opportunities for questions. It's not just two people making the decision. It's the whole board that we've nominated to make these decisions. And I just wonder if we... Something this important and involving maybe combustibles, should not be something that the whole committee would look at, make a decision on. Ask the question, anyway. I understand what you're trying to say. I think it'd be great if we could streamline lots of things, but I don't know. Well, it's not our intent tonight to vote on this. Now, if we care to vote, it'd be on the agenda. What, next week? Next meeting, Roger?
If you all want to have it on the agenda.
If we want, yeah.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Go ahead.
In light of the fact that from 2005 to now, we have. Four members on council that were not on council when we voted on this the first time. If I've counted correct?
That is correct.
It might be you want to put it back on the agenda for another vote. I don't know. I think there are some concerns, and we can hash it out again. I don't mind doing it again.
Well, in agreement, we'll put it on the agenda next time. We'll vote on
okay.
it. One way or the other. In the meantime, if we need to look, at some of the info and some more info, mm-hmm. we can do that. Mm-hmm. It sounds like we probably ought to bring this at some point in time to a vote, one way or the other.
Well, yeah, understand. What would you suggest that we vote on?
Huh? I think
whether item number three again.
Well,
I have a question, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor. On exactly what the Councilman Dewar asked, what are we voting on? Are we voting on whether we're going to adopt number three and permit building within 3 feet, or are we going to try to expand the unilateral approval authority of the chairman of the zoning board? Because both of these were brought up during the discussions. I mean, if we get that clarified, yeah, we can bring it up at the next meeting, but I'm a little bit concerned how that's going to be phrased.
And is this the normal way we change them? I thought, and you know better than I, Roger, but doesn't the Board of Zoning Appeals recommend the change and come to us, or do we also have the authority to just act on our own?
It goes both ways.
Both ways, okay.
Typically, BZA would bring something to you. But if I recall back in 2005 when this originally came up, Council asked BZA and the Planning Commission to look at this issue and to come back with some recommendations.
Okay.
Now, typically that would be done during the action agenda, and I believe that's how that was approached back in 2005. Again, in 2005, 6 out of 7 were approved. Let me do this because I think there are two issues here. One is the bringing this closer, the intent is how do we avoid some of these issues that may be a non-issue going before BZA?
Right.
And it comes up a lot, you know, whether we say it's too much, too little, and still give an opportunity for the city to review what's coming before there. Currently, under the Design Review Board, the director of the planning department, Ed Evans, could sit down with the chairman of the planning commission, I mean the design review board, and look at an issue and make a decision. If they both unanimously feel, well, if it's a unanimous opinion between the two of them, they could administratively approve certain items. And those items are listed. There's an actual checklist of what they could administratively approve. If they say no, one of them says no, then there's still a review process by the Design Review Board, which they could overturn the decision on that. What I'd like Gary to do, unless he has an answer tonight, is to review how can the BZA look at an issue like that. Currently, we do not have that mechanism within the BZA framework. And so one question would be, can we go ahead and come up with that framework? And if we do, how can we do it? And we can bring that information back to you. And then if council would like to take that or this other issue further to the next step, we can look at it next meeting.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I can do that. The state statute is different when it tells you how to do a design review board than it is when it tells you how to do a board of zoning appeals. And so I just have to look at both sections of the state law and see why there's that difference
And the answer coming back from Gary may be we cannot do that with the BZA. You know, administratively approved things cannot be done through BZA. If that's the case, then council would have to make a decision on 10 feet versus 8 feet versus 6 feet or 5 feet or whatever number you want. If it could be administratively approved, then we have two options as to what council may want to look at. Or the third option is just leave it the way it is.
But whatever we do, we would still keep this national code.
We can't change that.
We can't change that. So anything that fits that, that would be, regardless of what we do on the other.
And just because an applicant may come to us today and say, oh, we're not going to put any fuel in there, you know, we don't know what they're going to do or the next person's going to do. And I would say that the vast majority of them that are out there today have some gas can out there in those locations.
Agreed.
Okay. Very good. Good discussion. Okay, under petitions and requests, the first item is a resolution for new strategy for nuclear waste. And Rick, where are you? Rick McLeod is here. He's the executive director of the SRS Community Reuse Organization. I hope I have that right. Right, close to it.
Yeah, that's good enough.
And he's gonna say a few comments about this before we start talking about it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. For those not familiar with the SRS Community Reuse Organization, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is primary mission is facilitate economic development in the 5-county area of both two states of Georgia and South Carolina. It includes Aiken County, Barnwell, Allendale on the South Carolina side, and Richmond and Columbia County on the Georgia side. Like I said, our primary function is to help facilitate economic development in that 5-county area, but we also act as a regional voice concerning issues related to Savannah Riverside, and one of those issues is the resolution that's in front of you tonight. Our concern is that Yucca Mountain presently is being decided to take off the table as a permanent repository for both defense nuclear waste and commercial spent nuclear fuel. The concern we have locally is that the defense nuclear waste is the waste currently stored at Savannah Riverside that is in the vitrified glass logs that you may have heard about. If Yucca Mountain does not open, that potentially means that this waste will stay at Savannah Riverside until another repository is studied. Yucca Mountain now has been studied for over 25 years, and the government has spent $13 billion studying Yucca Mountain. So that's the issue we're currently faced with. Our concerns are basically the issues or the impacts towards job creation, image enhancement, and also just citizens' confidence in our local community. So we plan on having these resolutions, which the council will not be the only one that we've received, but we plan on taking these up to Washington in the April trip that is the CSRA chamber trip that goes up every year, and presenting these to, key decision makers in D.C. and show that we do have a consensus voice in our local area concerning Yucca Mountain and trying to make them aware of our concerns with their, a broken promise made to our community that the waste would be removed and be delivered to Yucca Mountain.
Any questions of Rick? Rick, thank you very much to take this position.
Yes, Scott.
And, yes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Scott Singer, reside at 317 Live Oak Road. But tonight I'm here representing County Council. The community reuse organization's petition to you tonight is actually independent of some actions that County Council and others have taken this past week regarding Yucca Mountain. But Council appointed me and Chuck Smith to act as liaison with other governmental bodies, and so I just thought I would just give you a little bit of an update as to where we are with respect to some actions that County Council has taken, again, with that this action being independent. Council last Friday filed a suit in the U.S. District Court of Appeals, U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington to stay the withdrawal of DOE's application with the NRC to open up Yucca Mountain. And we also met with representatives of our state delegation, our governor, and our attorney general. And I feel very confident that we will also see the state take action on this matter in the very near term. Obviously, it's one of vital importance to this community. And the one thing that I've been so proud about being involved is that it hasn't really been a Republican, should not be a Republican issue or Democratic issue. What this should be is really a national security issue. And our country has a great tradition in those times when there's a threat, external or internal, to rally together to do what's best for the citizens of this nation. And so I stand here representing the citizens of District 2 and Aiken County. What we're doing here tonight, I think, is much greater than that. And I appreciate the fact that y'all are willing to consider the resolution of the CRO and look forward to working with y'all to hopefully get Yucca Mountain open and find that permanent repository that is the best thing for this nation and this community. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to entertain them.
Thank you, Scott, for being with us, and certainly I think we all feel that way about it. $13 billion been spent on Yucca Mountain? Is that the number?
I think.
About
10 to 13, so
yeah.
Big number.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, no way, you know. Well,
I think $1.6 billion of South Carolinians' money, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
May I ask, what is the gist of the substance of your suit? Is it economical, or is it public safety?
Public safety. Yes, sir. It's a great question. No, it's public safety. The Savannah River site was never meant to be the permanent repository. The science, at least the science that has been available to council and with a C, and then counsel with our attorneys with an S, does not show that this would be a good place for permanent storage. And so, yes, it's first and foremost a public safety issue, and that's the gist where we're going.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott. Very much. We have before us the resolution, and we need to officially vote to pass this.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the resolution for the new strategy for nuclear waste.
I second the motion.
Okay.
Two guys that have worked with nuclear weapons did that.
any discussion? Any more discussion on the subject? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Okay, very, very good. Scott, one question, Scott and Enric, do you know what the state is going to do? He said they were in discussions, I think. I'm sorry I didn't ask that while you're up here. Yeah, well, please, yeah, just for the so we have the record of what you tell us, if you would, please.
Our local state delegation is fully on board with this, as is Governor Sanford. The Attorney General would actually be the entity that would file suit. We met with the Attorney General last week We've had discussions with them this week, and I'm confident they'll be moving forward, but I'll wait for their specific announcement.
Right. Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Mr. Mayor, just also so you're all aware, we're not alone in it either. State of Washington, Attorney General, is also considering filing suit, and three individual prominent leaders in Washington at the Tri-City areas have already filed suit on an individual basis, mainly concerning the that it violates the Nuclear Waste Policy Act. So there, and also the county's lawsuit is really based upon a violation of an act that Congress made that now an agency is deciding to prevent or interfere with that actual act that was made by Congress without getting Congress notification or approval. So we're not alone with that. And other communities you wear have similar situations that we do in Hanford.
Right. How do you see this moving forward here? You have these suits. Where does it go from there?
Well, the suit's a little different than resolution, but the suit was... The Yucca Mountain, there was no money put into the budget in FY11 for Yucca Mountain, which kind of started the process. Then DOE agency decided to have a 30-day stay of remove the application from the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Yucca Mountain was going through the approval process, the license process, and basically what that meant, DOE has decided to remove it with prejudice, which means that they can remove the application and the application could not be filed again with the NRC for Yucca Mountain to be a repository. So that's the main issue around the lawsuit is dealing with that bigger issue of them removing it with prejudice. So that's what they're trying to do is provide some type of relief or delay of that process.
That's correct. There's really a two-pronged approach here. There's the legal aspect of this and then the political aspect. Our attorneys and the attorneys at the state level, everyone that we've talked to is in complete agreement that we're on solid legal ground. And so we feel very confident that application will not be withdrawn. And then it becomes a political issue because if the federal government's found to be in violation of its own laws, then, of course, the federal government can always change its own laws. And so the petition that the CRO presented to the council, ultimately this is going to be waged in the halls of Congress. We just cannot let that application be withdrawn prior to that fight taking place.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question. There are three judges that have already ruled on this. What does this do with the ruling having come down by three judges?
That was dealing with the disposition of the actual license itself.
Okay.
So they ruled that because of the issue being delayed, there wasn't a need to continue the depositions.
Okay.
So it's a separate issue completely. If the license were to continue, then they would continue with that other legal issue and continue with the deposition. So all the judges did was stop the deposition on reviewing the license because the license was intended to be
pulled. Okay.
So
yes. Thank you very much. Okay, item two, a request to use parkways for Aikens-Macon. Mr. LaDuke.
For the past 33 years, the Chamber of Commerce has held Aikens-Macon and the parkways along Park Avenue. This is their 34th year, and they would like to request council to use the parkways starting on September 9th at 6 p.m. when the crafters would start moving in with their wares, and then they would remove everything that Saturday. And the parkways would be very similar to what you've seen the past few years. They're going to have to expand a little bit to the north and south in some of the parkways due to the fact that the city is now working those parkways and there's going to be some bioswales, rain guarding, interfering with a few of the booths, but the vast majority will still be able to be in there. This request that you have for tonight and the way it's stated down below is for the request of the parkways. In addition, though, they would like to have some pole banners and some across-the-street banners. They are requesting two over-the-street banners. They would be approximately 3 to 4 feet in height and about 30 feet long, stretching across the street. And then there would be a couple of pole banners that would be put up around the parkways. If you would like to go ahead and approve that part of it, and then you'd have to add that to your motion. The reason I kept that separate in the past, when especially banners going across the roadway have come before council, you have not approved them. We used to have banners at South Boundary and Whiskey Road, and I would say about 15 years or more ago, council at that time said no more banners. And since that time, you have not approved it. If you do want to approve it, certainly we could work with the chamber concerning this, but I'll take a page from our city attorney that once you approve one, it's going to be very difficult to deny another one in the future. So for City Council consideration, this is approval for the Chamber of Commerce to use the parkways on Park Avenue from Chesterfield Street to Union Street for the 34th annual Aikens Macon. And if you'd like to approve the banners or the pole banners, pole banners are a little bit different than going across the street, then that would be up to City Council.
Okay, thank you, sir. Is anyone here representing the chamber okay?
Diane
Phillips. Diane Phillips. Okay.
Hi, I'm Diane Phillips with the chamber. I live in the county, so you want my address? 3509 Gamble Road.
Oh, yeah.
The across-the-street banners, while that is what they are called, our intent would just be to have them at the gateways at like Chesterfield and Park and then Union at Park, but they would stretch over only the greenway portion of the parkway. They would not extend onto the street, the westbound and eastbound sides of Park Avenue. The pole banners would also, of course, come down when the festival was over and be stored off premises. They would not remain up.
Okay.
That's
so Diane, again, the over the street, it's not really over the street.
Right. We just want to.
It's over the end of the parkway.
Kind of a welcome sign that
at
just
the end
says
of the parkway?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Not over the street.
Right. And then, of course, we would have to have a pole of some sort to support them. I don't think there's anything there that the city already has that exists that they would tie to. So we would have to have a mechanism that would support them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve the use of the parkway for Aikens Macon for this coming year.
Okay, I'll second it. That includes over the street that are not really over the street?
Over the park, she said.
Huh?
The banner on the park.
No, I didn't know that. I thought you needed two motions, one for the banner and one for the...
I'm sorry. Let me make sure I'm straight now.
Okay.
Would you restate your motion, please?
My motion was to give them permission to use the parkway this year for Aiken Macon.
Give what? I'm sorry. What? To give permission.
They are requesting to use the parkways for Aikens Macon.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm
okay,
moving that we grant their approval.
Just as they ask.
Just this year.
Just the last sentence.
No banners right now. That's going to be a separate motion.
I just thought that would need to be a separate motion.
Okay, we've got two motions. My mistake.
You still want to second
I thought
that?
One went with the other way.
Second that.
I'll let you second it then. All right. Okay. Any more discussion on that part of it? If not, show of hands, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Okay. How about the banners? Do we have a motion on that then?
Did y'all use banners last year?
I thought one took
you did
care
not.
Of all of them, but I guess not.
First time
Mr. Mayor, I know when we had the 175th anniversary, small banners, there was quite a bit of discussion to add those to decorations. So I would be, greatly concerned about putting these out. I think you're going to open the box for continuous banners if you do this.
Can I make a motion?
Okay, let's get a motion first, and then we can discuss it and vote.
I move that we do not approve the use of street banners of various sizes in association with the Aikens Macon Festival.
Second.
Okay, we've got them. Okay, any discussion on that?
Mr. Mayor, I'll repeat what I said already. When we had the banners come up for the 175th anniversary, there was a lot of discussion just to add literally 8 or 10 of these around. So I think this would probably open the door for continuous banner changes.
Yeah, I think, and I agree with you totally, because we recall now that they wanted a big one downtown on Lawrence Street, across the end of the park, the one park. Right there. Tour of Homes, yeah. But it was to advertise the Tour of Homes, yeah. I do think they have some... No, I don't know that they have any banners at Aiken Prep. They have a sign out on the school property. But no sign. Okay, we have a motion and second there to deny the banners.
It's a banner.
Correct? All in favor? Show of hand? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay, one other item, two items. Well, I put it as one since they were both Dick. One's in sales tax and then on transparency.
Well, and I'll be brief. The transparency, I just want the council to know I'm still working that. I haven't given up on it. I know we discussed in detail how the wording would be for the goal for transparency of the budget. I've had a discussion with Roger. I haven't had a chance to get as much work done on it in the past week, but I'm still working it, and when I get it done, I'll bring it to council and ask you to give some thought to it. The more important item is the local option sales tax timing. We are scheduled right now to have a meeting, I think, on Monday, where we're to make our final decision.
No.
Where we're to make our decision on the projects that we would fund for the city portion.
Yeah, that was to be a public hearing.
Next Monday would be a meeting for... last time, the best way I could describe is the last meeting we had was a public information meeting.
Yes.
The five different groups came and gave you information. We didn't really have any public input. So this would be an opportunity for the public to give input on these five projects or any of the others that the city is proposing. Certainly during that meeting or after that, after we hear that information, council could discuss some pros and cons about it based on any information I receive at that meeting from you. I will then be preparing this list for an actual vote that would take place at the meeting on March 22nd. And also that list, we would probably go ahead and in the past we prepared actually a priority of the project. So let's just say there was 30 projects. We'd put that in some kind of priority listing along with the funding. So this next meeting is no vote. It's to get information, but it's also to discuss these projects.
Yeah. Okay.
March 22nd would be the
actual vote. I misunderstood that. I know the... and the concern I have is spending too much time on the list if we're not going to have it on the November ballot. I've talked to a lot of people recently who are quite concerned if the school board bond and the penny sales tax goes on the same ballot. I know the school board is deciding tonight what my understanding is. They're deciding tonight what they're going to do. So I just... I'm just concerned. I like the penny sales tax program as long as it has the right projects in it. I would just want to do whatever we can, timing-wise, to give it a good chance of passing. And I think if it's on the same ballot with the school board bond, it's going to be in jeopardy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mr. Mayor, my concern is if we, in fact, vote on some projects that are identified for the lost project, if, in fact, it doesn't get to a vote for a vote this November, how are we tied to those goals? Because our goals may actually change between now and, let's say, if it gets on a ballot in 2011. Do we have to rescind it, or do we try to carry the same goals forward?
Not necessarily.
If for some, let's just take some ifs or what ifs. If on March 22nd you do vote and you approve a listing to go on the 1 cent sales tax ballot that tentatively we're saying right now would be in November of this year. And if the county council, again, they're the final say as to when that'll go on the ballot. We're going based on the fact that at this point in time, I haven't heard otherwise, it's not going on November. So that's the timetable that we're using. But if they would choose to say to put it next year, 2011 or 2012, then certainly I would hope that council would re-look at those items, because there could be some change. You know, probably 90, 95, maybe even close to 100% of them would stay the same, but there may be changes at that point in time. This is a list that's assuming November. If that would change, then I would think council would have every right and ability to go back and change that before we go back to city council or county council.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. But again, I haven't heard otherwise, other than there has been a lot of discussion. The county may say we don't want to be in competition with the school district, or it's going to be okay to be in competition, or we want to set our own date. But again, everything I've heard was that we're proceeding so that this committee that's going to be formed, and that's going to be the first thing that the county council has to do, is form a six-member committee that they will start reviewing this and all the other aspects of it starting this spring.
Well, I don't think we ought to do it at the same time. That's my simple thought. And Dick, and maybe the rest of you think the same thing, but I think that would be a disaster. Scott, yeah, can you want to add something to this discussion?
Yeah, and while he's on the way up, I'd pass out that that the county has a finance committee which has been working on this as well. I have been in contact with Kathy Rawls and discussed it with her.
Right, and that's what I was basically going to do. I think Councilman Dewar raises an important issue. But let me tell you a little bit about where the county is on this, just for education purposes. I think Roger's correct. Under the state statute, the county council will appoint a six-member commission that will actually review the projects, prepare a ballot, which will present to the county council for final approval. As part of our mechanism, we appointed three members of county council to our committee to review these types of issues that are being raised tonight. Those members are Luana McKenzie, Kathy Rawls, and Gary Bunker. They're going to be reviewing the county's priorities with respect to the projects, just like you all are. But they're also going to come back to council with recommendations regarding the timing of the ballot. Unlike the school board ballot, which must go during a general election, since this is a renewal of the capital project sales tax or penny option sales tax, it does not require that it go at the time of the general election. It just needs to go it can go at any time. So we could go in 2011 during the municipal elections, as an example. We could choose another date, or we could go ahead at the same time as whatever the school board decides. I think it's really important that the two large municipalities, Aiken and North Augusta, and the county confer very closely on this. Because if you go back and you look at the history, the first time this passed, it passed 50.1 to 49.9%. And the cities overwhelmingly, Roger, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the cities overwhelmingly supported it. And it was our brethren in the county who did not think it was such a hot idea. I think history has proven that this is a very, very successful initiative. Frankly, I don't know where this county would be without it. So I think it's critically important that we have a good, clean ballot projects that our community can get behind, and that folks see the importance, you know, of these monies. But I would certainly welcome the opportunity to confer with both, y'all, North Augusta, and the smaller municipalities.
Thank you, Scott, very much. Before we adjourn, I have three things I'd like to...
Can I just mention something?
Certainly.
On that?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
And that's one of the things that council will have to keep in mind is we do need to start thinking about who we're going to select, whether it gets approved to be on the ballot in November of this year or next year, whatever it's going to be, City Council will have to go ahead and come up with a representative that we would appoint to be on that six-member committee. The other thing is, as Mr. Singer stated, the legislation changed last year. It used to be, up until state legislation changed, was anytime you renewed this, it had to be on a major election time period, 2010. But they changed it last year, which then allowed it anytime there was a renewal, it did not have to be voted during a major election. So that's why originally we've been gearing for 2010 for all this time period until the legislation did change. Now, currently we're looking at March 22nd. I mean, next Monday, that's one of the things you could say is let's hold off until we know we absolutely have to go before the county council. Now, if they would all of a sudden say we need to have this by, just throw out a date, April 15th, then we would have to vote on it April 12th. I always try to go ahead and give a little flexibility that, let's say on March 22nd, you got it before you, and there's a lot of debate, and there's a lot of concern and angst about it. We could always then table it and move it later. So, but if you wait till April, the next date is April 12th, if they need it right away, then you may not have the flexibility of holding off and taking a vote on it. So, but again, that's strictly up to council as to when you want to bring it. It is just a one reading. It's just a resolution saying these are our suggested projects, because the projects that are suggesting goes to the six-member group. They make the final selection of the projects, which are then sent to county council. So you're now, in the past, twice we've had this, the things that we suggested are exactly what the six-member committee approved. So your suggestions are taken very seriously.
What does the legislation say about if it's, let's say it's not successful in this year, how soon can it be raised again? And when does the existing lost tax stop?
Excellent questions. Question number one, I believe, and we'd have to check the legislation on it, but if it got defeated in 2010, you could bring it up again in 2011 or 2012. Again, we do not foresee that the funds that we'll be receiving during this current local option sales tax period will end until sometime in 2012. So we were anticipating that our last payment would probably be somewhere in 2012, or collected at least in 2012 time frame. The last few payments that we received, we've seen a decrease of around 2 to 5%. Again, we're always about 6 months behind. So if you look at when did the recession hit, it hit in August-September time period of 2008. That check that we got, we didn't receive it until May of 2009, and that was a decrease. Well, every subsequent check that we've received since that time, there's been a decrease from the previous year. In fact, this last check that we received last week was the lowest check that we've received since we started this, receiving the checks in 2006. And what I'm saying with all that is, instead of there being an inflationary increase or a cost of living increase on each one of those that we have received in the past, this past year we actually seen a drop or reduction. And that's just a measure of the economy and a measure of what's going on with the businesses from sales tax. So where we thought the last check would be received in 2012, if this continues for a longer period of time, it may stretch even into 2013. So we do have a little bit of flexibility at the other end also. One of the reasons we chose 2010, if we knew what the projects were, they were approved, and we needed to go forward with the project for some reason, state law does allow you to start bonding or assuming that you will be receiving that money at a later date. And it gives you a little bit of a planning period of time. Instead of getting the money approved and then you have to go ahead and it's available 2 months or 6 months later. This gives you a nice period of time to start playing towards those projects.
It's my understanding from an expert county source who's in the audience who shall be unannounced that if it gets rejected, you have a 2-year wait.
Is that not correct? I said it's either 2011 or 2012.
No. No,
it's a, if it's a renewal, it has to go to a general election.
Right, okay.
If it's not a renewal, it has to go to a general election, which is 2012. I believe Roger, but...
Yeah, and that question is, okay, so is this still, if it gets rejected, is it still a renewal? Is it not a renewal? I would say you're going to be waiting at least a year, though, if not 2 years.
But I thought you said, Scott, if it's rejected, you've got a 2-year wait.
I rarely get the opportunity to correct Roger. It's usually the other way around. But I believe, Roger,
yeah,
that it has to go to a general election if it's rejected in 2010. So the next general election
is 2012.
But if it was rejected in 2011?
If it was rejected in 2011, it's going to come back in 2012.
2012, good. Okay, that's not 2 years.
If it's rejected in 2010, it cannot go to 2011.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I agree with Scott.
You're ganging up on me.
Sure, I'm glad you came to the meeting, Scott and Rick. Thank you very much for your input tonight. Seriously, thanks. Is any other discussion on that? I just have three quick things to say. I want to publicly thank Pete Frommer and his crew for the work they did last week. The Church of God out on Whiskey Road had a state convention for 2 days. And this is for the ministers of the Church of God and their wives and of course some of the congregation locally. They had 845 people in that church on Monday. I went out Tuesday and welcomed the group. They had at least 800 at that time. And I tell you, public safety had everything just perfect out there. Everybody's going the right direction. When they came out, they had that monitor that coming on out on Whiskey Road. And I had many people say to me when they found out I was the mayor that what a good job they did, Pete. Of course, including Pastor Fox and some of the folks from the state level, and there were a couple from North Carolina as well. So again, thank you for the good job that your folks are doing, and especially I noticed that night. And if you would pass that on to them from council, we all appreciate that. I think most everybody is aware that every year there's a group, Leadership Aiken County. These are folks that indicate they want to learn more about their state, and also they're those who aspire perhaps to other jobs or maybe even government jobs. Anyway, we have a few in our audience today tonight. I didn't want to forget at least three that I know of, unless someone else came. So would you all stand up, please? We always appreciate you coming. And I'm sure you got a good master's degree or doctorate degree on how to run and participate in a council meeting. Thank you for being with us. And if we can do anything, help you in any way, let us know. Now, the last thing was that we had a kickoff last week out at the parks concerning our green environmental project. And it was a tour of the parks. But while I was there, all of a sudden someone walked up to me and gave me this citation. This is a good citation, not a public safety one. And this gentleman was from Somerville, Massachusetts. And what this is, very simply, it's concerning our 175th anniversary. And they were All America City back in 2009, by the way. And it says, be it hereby known to all that the city of Somerville hereby offers its sincerest congratulations to the citizens of Aiken, South Carolina, in recognition of their 175th anniversary. And then it's got His Honor the Mayor, which I thought sounded pretty good. and Alderman Thomas Taylor extend their very best wishes on this memorable occasion, given the 17th day of February. And it was Tom Taylor that presented this. And I came to find out that his daughter was here with him doing some training in the equestrian area. So I don't think it wasn't just a trip down here to give us this, per se. But that was nice of them to recognize the 175th. So I just wanted to present that to council and everybody else. Okay, anything else? Okay, we stand adjourned. Thank you for being with us.